Dan. Are we ready to begin? Okie dokie. My teaching is called Tuned Bing 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 to the Key of Love. I used to play a 12-string guitar, ba-dong, 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 ba-dong. Norwegian Wood by the Beatles, that was my favorite song. And I had to learn to tune a 12-string. And I learned as we live, we have to tune to station. Back when, if you got, do you remember radio stations, anybody, when they had W something? So back in the day, I would always call it tuning to WGOD. WGOD, not WAGA or WLF or something like that, but WGOD. Peg, how do you tune your heart to the key of love? How do you get your heart to the place where you're hearing God more than you're hearing your own babbling? Yes, I have to think, I have to make plans and whatnot, but I want God in the center of those plans, and I can't do that if I don't make the decision to tune my heart to the key of love. In Jeremiah 24, I'll just read this to you. God promised, "I will give you a heart to know me. You will see my hand and hear my voice. You will be mine with your whole heart. And I will be your what?" This is God's goal for us. That our heart is so in tune with him that he's our God 24/7, all the time. He's this... You know, they used to have a little angel and devil sitting on your shoulder. Everybody see this cartoon? The devil's like, pink, no, you're out of here, bro. I want God sitting here talking into my heart all through my day, just like Michelle was talking about. We were gone to lunch. I had a bunch of stuff to do. I'm like, what the heck is taking her so long? And then she comes out, and this woman comes out with her, and I was able to give her locm.org. God. It's a God thing. She's tuned to the key of love. So what God is looking for with us is an intimate relationship. And the word God uses for intimacy in the Bible, and this is a physical term, I'm not trying to get weird on you, but it's to know him, which means a man impregnating his wife to the end that she has a baby. That means it's all up inside. God wants to be, that is what yada means. That is what genosko means. It means God is all up inside you, down to the tips of your hair. He's everywhere in you. And this gives off energy. We're either giving off bad energy or good energy. The hippies, when I was a hippie, we called it bad vibes and good vibes, baby. And we wanted good, 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 good vibrations. Anybody ever heard that one? The Beach Boys had it right. So this is a whole attitude of heart. And King David, this is probably my favorite word to keep me on station WGOD in the whole Bible, which is Psalm 51:10. Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit, a right attitude within me. You can learn a lot more about that verse. I go into it in depth in my book, I Saw the Light, But He Saw Me First. And as I mentioned, we're here to talk about agape, that unconditional love that often requires a sacrifice. She's hungry, and God's telling her to go to the makeup store. That's a sacrifice. It doesn't mean we get nailed to a tree, because God never asked us to get nailed to a cross. He didn't ask us to die for him. He asked us to what, class?
Live
for him. And that means he's on our clock 24/7 if we want him there, right? If we space out and don't, somebody better be keeping time, because Big Mouth up here isn't. So... Go to Luke chapter 7. Tina, will you tell me when I've taught about another 25 minutes?
Yep.
Thank you, honey. In Luke chapter 7, I love this because I relate so much to this woman. And in Luke chapter 7, excuse me, please, you got to do what you got to do. The fame of Jesus, anybody seen The Chosen?
Yeah.
The fame of Jesus was spreading everywhere. And you know who was ticked off? The religious leaders, because they weren't making it rain. They were afraid they were going to take their money away. You know, Jesus wasn't there about money. He was there about love. And so they were jealous. They were vicious. We don't have to guess at it. We know it because he killed them. They killed Jesus. That's pretty strong jealousy right there, folks. And so one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to his house, and I'm sure he smiled when he did it and acted all nice, but he dishonored Jesus in three big ways, and you're going to see how badly he treated the Messiah. So in Luke chapter 7, here's the deal. Man's religion and God's love are at opposite ends of the spectrum. We're going to get a big dose of man's religion and a big dose of God's love in Luke chapter 7. You ready for this? Yeah. We're going to see some contrast, baby. So, Luke chapter 7, verse 36, I'm going to read this particular verse out of the Message. The Pharisee invited Jesus to his house, but he didn't wash his feet. He didn't kiss him with a holy kiss. He did not anoint him with oil, which were all three insults to Jesus. When someone came to your house, your feet were dirty, you washed their feet. When someone came to your house, you gave them a holy kiss like they do in France on both cheeks. When someone came to your house, you anointed them with oil as a sign of honor. So here's the scenario. They've invited him to the house and they haven't done any of these things to honor him, nothing to honor him. So in 36, just then a woman of the village, the town harlot, having learned that Jesus was a guest in the home of the Pharisees, came with a bottle of very expensive perfume. She wasn't poor in money. She was poor in spirit. And stood at his feet, weeping, raining tears on his feet, letting down her hair, which in that culture represented her glory. Her glory. Letting down her hair, she dried his feet, kissed them, and anointed them with perfume. Is this an act of pride or an act of humility?
Humility.
Very humble. This is about as humble as you get. Sue, if you got, we'll put the next slide up, honey. Thank you. When the Pharisees, gosh, this just hurts my head when I read this. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man was a prophet, I thought he was, he would have known what kind of woman that's falling all over him. Whoa, now there's man's religion. There's man's religion. People speculate. I even used to speculate who this woman was, but you know why she's not the woman with the issue of blood? You know why she's not the woman that was stoned in front of Jesus? Because wait till we get to the end. She doesn't get her prayer answered till the end of this chapter. This is a woman who'd never laid eyes on Jesus. She had only heard of the Lord of love. And she said, I don't know what he can do for me, but I hear what he's doing for all these other people. And God, do I need him in my life? This is what I need. This is what I crave. So, verse 38. Un momento. We'll edit this out, Dan. Don't take that into my time, Tina. This woman stood behind Jesus weeping and began to wash his feet with her tears, then wiped them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet. Kissed his feet with, and then anointed, gave them ointment. Those were all the three things the Pharisees, man's religion, omitted in how they felt about Jesus. None of this stuff. They didn't give him any of the honor. And verse 39 tells us that the Pharisees immediately looked on Jesus with distaste because he had the audacity to touch a sinner. But wait, what you don't understand is in that culture, when men had lunch, it was only the men that had lunch. This woman crashed the party. I mean, I guess if she was a town prostitute, she didn't have a lot of ego to mess with, you know, because she had a bad reputation already. And I love this way she feels. What have I got to lose by trying God? What have I got to lose by just putting myself at the feet of the Master and giving him my heart and my love and the best of me? Not the worst of me, the best of me. Verse 40, Jesus tells a parable. You can read it later, but he tells a parable about a creditor who had two debtors, and one owed him 500 bucks and the other one owed him 50 bucks. And he frankly forgave them both. And Jesus said to the Pharisee, Simon, which one do you think loved him more, the master who forgave them both. And Simon said, I guess the one that he forgave the most. So he got something right out of this whole thing. And I think we're down in verse 47. I don't know. But Jesus said, that's right. And Jesus then turning to the woman, but speaking to Simon, he said, do you see this woman? I came to your home. You provided no water for my feet, but she has rained tears upon my feet and dried them with her hair. You provided me no greeting, but since the time she has come, she hasn't quit kissing my feet. I've done this in one of my visions, and it was one of the most beautiful visions I ever had with Jesus. I love giving to him. I love receiving from him, but I love giving to him even more. You provided nothing for refreshing up, but she has soothed my feet with perfume. Jesus said to Simon, impressive, isn't it? She was forgiven many, many sins, and she loves much. If the forgiveness is minimal, the love is minimal. And Simon, you know, the religious Pharisee, and he was all filled with self-righteousness. He had done nothing, none of those things for the Messiah. And you know what happens in man's religion? They're so wedded to their doctrine, they're not even open to truth. They've got some dogma in their head that they won't let go of. Folks, I have evolved and changed over the last 50 years. I don't even recognize Peg at 20. I don't even feel like I'm in the same body. Well, I'm not in the same body. Mine's much older. In my head, I don't relate to that person who was angry, who was crazy, who did drugs, who drank, who did anything she could to numb herself out. I drink water, and I love it. That's fine for me. I get high on the Holy Spirit. But you know what Jesus said to the woman? And this is when it's at the end of the chapter. Jesus spoke to her in verse 48, and he said, I forgive your sins. I forgive your sins. Here's the thing. Jesus said, okay, you're looking at her from the flesh, and she looks like she's the town harlot, yada, yada. She's selling her body for money. And you guys over here, you're supposed to be reading the Torah every day and being so religious. You're the ones that hate me. She's the one that loves me. But here's the kicker. He says, the person, you know, that had $500 loved the master more than the guy that got delivered from 50 bucks. You know, a lot of difference in the money. But here's the point I want to make in this. We were all delivered $500. We were all delivered $5 million. We were all delivered $5 trillion. Because walk through a cemetery, dead is what? Dead. There's not one person, you can walk through every cemetery in America, and there's not one person deader than the other person in the coffin. Every single person in the cemetery is just as dead. So we were all forgiven. Amen. $5 trillion. So where should our love be? We were without God and without hope and had no eternal life. There was nothing to look forward to after this one. And man, that is just pure sad. So the question and the lesson for me in this record in Luke is, how much do we work our mind to appreciate every day just exactly? I don't want you to relive all your past, but I want you to appreciate that you don't have to live that way anymore. Mm-hmm. See the difference? Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. I figured that out with God's help. And never forget this in 1 John. We love God because he first.
Praise God and loved us.
Yes, and I went to a fellowship where I heard people speak in tongues, interpret, and prophesy. And I told y'all this a couple days ago. I'd been searching for God everywhere. And man, I was born again as a kid. I was born again when I was 3 or 4. I drew pictures of Jesus on little pieces of paper. I would copy the holy cards. I would draw the Sacred Heart. I would sit up in treetops and talk to God all day. It wasn't like I wasn't born again. I just was a son in Luke 15 that went out and I partied till I almost killed myself. So I am so thankful for where God has brought me. I want Jesus to know every day how much I appreciate. I appreciate. There's not a day I get up that I'm not thankful for what Jesus has done and turned a sow's ear into a silk purse who's God's masterpiece. Because now I'm God's masterpiece. You're God's masterpiece. The heavens and the stars, that's His handiwork. You, whether you feel like it or not, you're His masterpiece. Say, I'm His masterpiece. How many people feel like you're His masterpiece? Okay, cool. Cool, I love it. Psalm 40. Oh, man, look at that. I mean, come on, folks. Psalm 40, verse 2 says, He lifted me out of a pit of despair, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walk along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Listen to this line. Many will see what He has done for you and be amazed. Many will see what He has done for you and be amazed. Oh, the joys of those who love the Lord. My question here is, who's your first love? In Revelation 2, there was a great church. It was rich. It had people coming to it. It had people that, you know, looking like they were loving the Lord, but they weren't in their heart. They had gotten rich. They had gotten full of themselves, and they had lost that appreciation where they put God first and themselves second. And Jesus upbraided. He told them through John, He upbraided them because they had lost their first love. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I came back to Jesus at 23. I was with Him as a kid, came back to Him at 23. Honey, I would have walked over hot coals to go to those Bible fellowships. Thank God I had a car, because I would have walked 12 miles to go to those Bible fellowships. I was engaged to somebody in California and left my whole lifestyle behind and told my fiance, I ain't coming back. If you want to come here and learn about Jesus, get on a plane. I would have done anything to get what these hippies had that were talking to me. So, love is our motivation. Appreciation is what keeps it motivated. Appreciation. And that's why I appreciate people like Tina and Ron and Dan. And I appreciate you all coming. I mean, so many people in here drove for hours, got on a plane and flew just to hear us talk about Jesus. That's a lot. Do you know how much God is going to bless you back and how much He's going to honor your sacrifice for what you gave to come here? People, I say, I'm expecting to be blessed. I'm expecting to be blessed. Say, God doesn't owe me anything. God doesn't owe me anything, but He's going to give it to me because He says He loves me. Because He wants to bless me back. Because He set the law of sowing and reaping. And therefore, I'm expecting a blessing because of His spiritual laws. See, get this in your head. This is how the universe works. You don't change it. You just have to work with it. So, love is not a suggestion. Love is a commandment. There you go. Love is a commandment. And every day, in every way, I want us to recognize His love. So, Sue, go to my cartoon here. Love is your choice. Your decision to love, it ain't going to come like a coconut falling on your head out of a tree. You have to make up your mind to put on some new habits. So, if you check this out, these are all the supposed superheroes that I loved as a kid. Man, I wanted to be Superwoman. I wanted to be able to fly. I used to put a red towel on my back and jump off the top of the stone barbecue pit that was about 6 feet tall. I'd climb up there with my little cape taped to my shoulders and go, I'm Supergirl! Didn't break a leg, but... So these are all the supposed superheroes, but who's in the middle? And Jesus. And that's how I actually... unequivocally, without hesitation, that's how I actually saved the world. He's taking them to school, baby cakes. He's taking them all to school. So love is a decision. And that's why I said love is the greatest power in the universe, because truthfully, when we are walking like Jesus walked, would you consider Jesus a superhero? Oh, yeah. Yes. I sure as heck would. I mean, he raised people from the dead. He opened blind eyes. He, once he was in his resurrected body, he did even more stuff. But in his earthly tabernacle before the resurrection, what could he not do? He calmed the sea. He fed 5,000. I would call that a superhero. Yes, that's because that's living supernaturally. Supernaturally, which means above the natural. So if you're looking for role models, I just invite you to really submerge yourself in the Gospels. And when you submerge yourself in the Gospels, look at how kind Jesus was. Kindness is such an underrated virtue. And if we just decided to be kind to people, even if they're dancing on our last nerve, you're just tap dancing on my last nerve, honey child, what can we say to help get them out of their funk? You know what I'm saying? So I just want to end with a word of prayer, and then I want you to sit here for just a couple of minutes because I'm going to have Sue play a song. I think it's so powerful. It's called Look at Me by Coco. And I want you to hear the words, and then we're going to take a short walk-around break, say 5 minutes after the song, and come back, and I've got a little short piece. Can y'all handle me for another 30 minutes? Anybody? I'm getting silence. Crickets up here. I'm getting crickets up here. Can you handle me for another 30 minutes? All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God, I just pray over every person in this audience that while they're listening to this song, look at me, I have been set free. I thank you that they see a reflection of you in them. I thank you that they appreciate where they are because of you. And I ask you that they can take these words to heart. In Jesus' name, Sue, hit it. Thank you, Jessica, for this song. Jessica Rohn, thank you for giving me this song. I don't think any words are up there. Just listen to them. Amen. 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 Anybody happy? Christ has set me free. Christ has set me free. Christ has set me free. Oh yeah, baby.